WHYY's Jimena Conde introduced us to a group of undocumented construction workers in Philadelphia behind the company MexCon. They're trying to get ahead by turning it into a worker-owned development company. And today, we look at the promises and pitfalls these men face.
In Philadelphia, pay for non-union construction jobs can start at $15 or even $20 an hour. But Javier Garcia Hernandez, owner of construction company MexCon, says others can pay as little as $10 an hour. Because MexCon operates in a democratic fashion, where workers get a say in the jobs they take, MexCon takes jobs that average out at $19 an hour per worker. But it doesn't always work out.
We struggle, and that's the struggle that comes from the top down. If we don't take the job, somebody else will take the job or come in. Will undercut our wages, and it's just a race to the bottom.
Javier thinks he has a solution, turning his current construction company into a development company where his plumbers, carpenters, and electricians share ownership. Jamila Medley is executive director of the Philadelphia Area Cooperative Alliance, or PACA, a nonprofit that helps co-ops launch in the region. She says the promises of the worker-owner model are big.
So we're thinking about the cooperative business model as a strategy for helping to reduce poverty, to close the racial wealth gap in and around Philadelphia, and really thinking about how the business model can be used to across various needs.
2019 data from the U.S. Federation of Worker Cooperatives found almost a quarter of the country's estimated 500 co-op businesses offered workers an average $19 an hour. In 13 of the states with the highest concentration of worker co-ops, that hourly rate exceeded the minimum wage by more than $7. And worker owners reported receiving an average $8,200 a year in their share of profits. In an economic downturn like the one we're in now, Jamila says co-ops can adjust quickly, too.
They could say, for example, well, we'll take pay cuts to keep things going. Or the autonomy and the inherent democracy of those businesses, I think, allowed them to flourish in different kinds of ways than traditional businesses that, you know, where the owner might have just said, I'll just, you know, take my check and cut my losses. And sorry, you guys, you lost your job, right?
Yet even with this research, shared ownership has been a tough sell for MexCon's members. The group went through a six-month training with PACA in 2016 to see if they could make a co-op model work. Ultimately, not enough people were willing to get on board. Javier attributes the hesitation to a belief widely held by the group. Their stay in the U.S. is only temporary.
I think we all come. I know I came under the illusion that I come here for a year, make some money, and go back.
After 20 years in the U.S., Javier feels he's here to stay. His colleagues, however, don't have legal residency and have family in their home countries. So they continue to work off the hope that this year, or maybe the next, will be the year they go home. And Jamila introduces another possibility. Being an owner doesn't always sound good to everyone.
Some employees are like, actually, no, I don't want the responsibility of ownership. That sounds like a lot. I'm good right where I am, right?
Still, for Javier, becoming a developer co-op is more than a business decision. The MexCon workers are close friends, and he wants them to have a slice of the American dream. Javier thinks about this often. Last December, before the pandemic reached the region, hardware stores were playing Christmas songs, and Javier was thinking how he could make the holidays nicer for his men than last time.
And then the year before, we sat at the Walmart parking lot right over by the river. And we were so broke. There was about five of us, five best friends or core. And we put our change together. We had enough to buy chicken and some bread and a case of beer. And we just sat over by the river in the car, drank beer and ate chicken. That was our dinner. That was sad. So that bothers me. I don't want to do that again.
It was another rough Christmas. The men had no money. Then when the pandemic hit, their finances got worse. Javier and Santiago insist the risk of investing is small compared to doing nothing. At the very least, fixing up a property would be guaranteed work through the winter, which is important because during the coronavirus construction shutdowns, some MexCon workers had to pick up jobs under the table.
Being undocumented immigrants, we're always somewhat hiding. We're like a very underground economy. So we were able to keep working
many of us.
Should shutdowns take place again, working on a personal project could help people like Maria, another undocumented Mexican employee, get a big payday down the road. During shutdown, she stayed home and lived off her savings. It was a crushing blow for her plans to buy a house for her family and makes her wonder if she's in a position to invest the little she has left.
It's the risk, right? More than anything, it's giving up your dream to have your own property. And if it doesn't work out, your dreams. You want to buy a property, but you want it to be something certain. You want it to be yours.
Javier says he understands why some of his other workers might feel the same way. Many of his colleagues have families in their home countries. They send back any money they can spare.
We haven't been able to say, all right, let's put $1,000 a month this week. You put $1,000, you put another $1,000, you put another $1,000, or not even $500. We live paycheck to paycheck. We can't afford to. We'd be lucky if we have money to buy lunch.
This reality has stalled larger talks to turn Mexcon into a developer co-op. Some of Mexcon's workers are thinking of taking out a loan in Javier's name and setting up an investment agreement among themselves. It's a long shot, and the group has already hit its first stumbling block. The men missed their meeting with the bank. They couldn't get away from work. Ximena Condi, WHYY News.